Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Euskaltel's first half 2019 result presentation. The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation materials that can be found at Euskaltel's website, which will be followed by a Q&A session. You can ask your question by phone by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. You can also send your questions through webcast platform at any time during the presentation. I am now pleased to introduce José Miguel García, CEO of Euskaltel. Please, sir, go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to our Euskaltel second quarter 2019 result conference. As Guillaume said, my name is José Miguel García, recently appointed CEO of Euskaltel. With me, joining me is Jon-Anders de la Fuentes, our CFO, and Alfonso Enriquez, Head of Strategy and Investor Relations, who's also recently joined the company. If we get into a summary, firstly, I would like to say that a busy quarter for us, for the company, and pleased to say with what we consider a solid quarter for the company. The mass market, we have delivered customer growth and increased profitability, which for us is important. The mass market customer net adds has increased by 4,000 in the quarter, and this has been mainly driven by our expansion initiatives outside of our three traditional regions. Another important fact for us is that service take-up has accelerated strongly in the quarter with 7,000 broadband, 24,000 postpaid mobiles, and 10,000 television net adds, which of course for us is important as it represents quality of service net adds. Service take-up, as I said, is a quality measure and already represents 3.7 services per customer, and that's a record high for the business, which obviously represents an important improvement. Despite revenue slightly decreases, profitability has increased in the quarter. Gross margin and EBITDA have grown to 2% and 4% respectively versus the previous quarter, with EBITDA growing to 84 million in the period. For us, probably most importantly during the quarter is that we've designed and are fast implementing a new roadmap, which obviously is already delivering important results. I'd like to go through them because I think it's quite an important aspect of our business this quarter. As I mentioned, on June the 5th, the board approved a new three-stage roadmap for the company, and this is aimed at fast-tracking our profitable growth and creating shareholder value. The first stage of this roadmap is focused on achieving a single, highly focused, integrated organizational structure for our three regional business. This has obviously been a major milestone for us, probably the single most important milestone of our roadmap. The simplified organizational structure has been implemented in a record four weeks, which for us is tremendous and very proud of the Euskaltel team for achieving this, and mostly with our in-house experienced executives, with some reinforcement from highly experienced hires, which will comment later on in another slide. Stage 2, which by the way is already in execution, is focusing on driving business improvements across the entire company. That's going to be leveraging obviously on our strong brands, which obviously, ERRE, Telecable, and Euskaltel represents, while at the same time looking for synergies in all areas. Some of the areas obviously we are looking for synergies and already working on synergies obviously include the sales channels, the product offerings and go-to-market plans, key customer service processes such as provisioning, network and IT assets integration, the implementation of single functional structures across the entire organization. These are obviously key areas where we're looking for synergies and improvements. Stage 3 of our roadmap, once we've achieved the desired operational excellence that I've mentioned, is obviously prepare a national expansion business case, which will obviously be leveraged on our existing expansion pilots, which are, as I mentioned at the outset, are having positive growth numbers, and the fact that we'll have a single operational KPI function units. In our new roadmap, which is well underway, as I mentioned, and we've implemented in less than two months, we have already achieved strong momentum in some of the very key milestones. To start, and probably as I mentioned, the most single important milestone of our new roadmap is the integration of our business into a single operational structure to support the three brands. We have also launched already initial homogeneous product offerings into the market, which are based on improved speeds, increased mobile data abundance across all the brands. And this for us was also an important milestone, and we're beginning to see get some visibility of those initiatives. Obviously, loyalty programs and dedicated teams have been set up, and this is important because we're aiming at those initiatives at churn reduction. And more importantly, we're working on a single footprint for the entire group, and this is also important. We are obviously working on rebalancing our sales channels, which will give us not only more focus in terms of sales initiatives, but also more efficiency in terms of costs. And we have already developed, and we are on the way of developing common KPI dashboards and scorecards, which have already begun to identify clear business opportunities. We are engineering key processes like the operational units, like the provisioning processes, which also giving us visibility on improvements. And we have already started drafting new network maps and IT maps and even customer process maps to ensure that we achieve single end-to-end processes and improvements to customers. Now, I think, just pausing on what I consider has been a major milestone, which we have achieved in 4 weeks, and that's the single management organizational structure, which we now already have and are already operating under. This has been a major milestone, as I mentioned, because it provides the basis to be able to deliver the improvements that we're looking for. This new management structure works over a single footprint of customers, which is obviously what we aimed. If I just want to highlight some of the highlights of the different operational units, starting with the Mass Market Business Unit, where we are concentrating all our residential and SOHO sales marketing operation resources for the three brands. And this area it's been led by two of our in-house managers, which will focus on obviously channel. Sales channels management as well as go-to-market processes. The B2B business unit integrates all our enterprise assets into one single business unit across all the businesses, and it's currently will manage sales management, pre-sales, post-sales, customer service operations, all under one single in-house leader. The technology factory integrates all our network, IT, and customer services platforms under the leadership of two of our managers, combining an in-house manager with high skills and a specialist high skills new hire. Finance and human resources continue to be managed by our in-house management team. Another milestone, which again, pleased to announce, and particularly because of the fast of launching such initiatives, is the launch of homogeneous product offerings into the market across the three brands. We are focusing on customer value and loyalty, and so we've launched bundles offers with increased mobile data abundance, high broadband speeds, including a Samsung mobile handsets in the bundle with a 24-month minimum contract. And again, this is aimed at preserving our ARPU as well as reducing our churn. We have used Carlos Arguillano, which is a highly popular television personality, as prescriber to our new services in the three regions, in the three brands, with the three languages. And I think this is a major milestone and, once again, great effort from the Euskaltel team. Moving on into the network expansion, which for us represents great opportunities, and we've seen some of the numbers. Obviously, we can see that the expansion of all our expansion initiatives are beginning to add an overall coverage for the company, which gets close to the 3 million, which for us is key. The fact that we have a mature wholesale market in Spain is going to allow us to design flexible OPEX and return investment business cases for the future, and this is obviously something that's key. Together with the fact that we will have leadership offerings to customers, as well as the experience we're having from our pilot experiences in other regions, gives us confidence to be able to draft a business case to address the 85% of the national market still remaining to be addressed, and represents a tremendous growth opportunity for us in the future. And we have options like using the Virgin brand in that development. Moving into some operational numbers, as I mentioned in the outset, we're delivering customer growth across the business, and this has been mainly driven through the expansion projects pilots that we have going on, particularly in Navarra, La Rioja, Cantabria, León, and the co-branding initiatives with RICB in Catalonia. These expansion pilots are based on rollouts we are conducting. Year on year, we have grown in the range of 125,000 new homes passed, and that's been a result of in-field deployments we've carried out together with a co-investment agreement with Orange in Navarra. We've also added an additional approximately 600 households, again through an access agreement with Orange. All up, as I said previously, adds up to around 3 million homes passed overall coverage for the business. And this network expansion is boosting our customer growth. With that 4,000 net adds in the second quarter of this year. But more importantly, these expansions and the customer growth is allowing us to turn the previously quarter's negative downward trend into a positive growth trend, as we can see on the chart. Our mass market growth is growing, and for us this is important because it represents that obviously our quality, the quality of our customers and the quality of our revenue is growing constantly. As we can see on the chart, broadband services have increased by 7,000 in the quarter, postpaid mobiles have increased by 24,000 in the quarter, and television services have increased by 10,000 in the quarter, which, by the way, now represents over 60% penetration in our customers, as well as fixed voice is also increased to 3,000 in the quarter. These service take-ups is very important for us because it represents quality in our customer base, and we now already have almost 3.7 services per customer's contracted, which represents a tremendous growth. SME and large account customer growth continues on a positive trend, and this has been mainly due not only to the launch of our product offering over a year ago, but more importantly to the increase of our footprints in FTTH and that 3 million coverage that we've mentioned previously. Now I will pass on to Jonander, who will get more into detail in terms of the financial reviews for the company.
Okay. Thank you, José Miguel. We are on slide 15. We show the top-line performance during the quarter. Given the new organization defined, from now onwards, we will refer to mass market revenue, which includes not only residential, but also SOHO revenue. As a result of the success of our expansion plan, the second quarter mass market revenue grew by 1.3%, which means an inflection point versus the previous quarters. On B2B revenue, which includes SMEs and large accounts, behaved in line with fourth quarter 2018. We recall that in the first quarter 2019 was impacted positively by the recognition of the revenues coming from the agreement signed with the Basque government, which stands for 4 million euros for the full year recognized in the first quarter standalone as per IFRS 15. All in all, we are seeing a clear change in trend in total revenue growth, and the company is close to approaching positive revenue growth. Going to the next slide, number 16, I would like to explain how the measures that the new management is implementing are already bearing fruit. EBITDA growth in the quarter has been mainly due to a gross margin increase from 71.7% over revenue in the previous quarter to 73.6% in this quarter due to the growth of better quality revenue, due to the growth of mass market revenue mentioned before, as well as the absence of the impact of the Basque government license this quarter. A more than 1% reduction in selling, general and administrative expenses in the quarter to 45.5 million euros due to the positive effect of some of the cost control measures implemented in the quarter. All this has translated is in significant EBITDA growth of more than 4% quarter on quarter. The EBITDA margin has reached 49.4% this quarter, a record high in the last five quarters. On slide 17, I would like to focus on cash generation in the quarter. Subscription acquisition cost CapEx grew steadily as expected, given the good evolution of our expansion plan, reaching 11% of sales. We are experiencing very positive customer growth in the quarter, while at the same time being able to maintain our cash flow generation close to 27% of sales, a clear reference in the whole industry. And non-subscriber acquisition cost CapEx was dedicated mainly to progressing on the integration process of the three companies as well as maintaining our network up to date. To end the financial review on slide 18, you can see that the cash generated during the first half of the year 2018 was enough, not only to distribute a dividend of 25 million euros during the period, but also to reduce debt down to 4.3 times EBITDA. Total shareholder remuneration in the year amounted to 55 million euros, considering also the payment of 30 million euros of complementary dividend distributed last 9th of July, thus representing a dividend yield of circa 4%. And now I will give back the word to José Miguel for him to wrap up the presentation.
Thank you, John Ander. And just quickly, because I think it's been for us a solid quarter, which is very important because it represents a solid start to what is the implementation of our roadmap. And obviously, the highlights is the fact that we've got customer growth has been accelerating in the quarter, which is obviously been driven by expansion pilots initiatives, and for us this is important. Profitability of the company has improved. The net debt has been reduced, as we've seen with John Ander. The new strategic roadmap has been implemented and is already delivering results. The new management structure has been completely incorporated or arranged and implemented in record time, which I think is key for us. And the new commercial offer has been launched across all our territories. Initial improvements have already been identified and are quickly being implemented into the business. And this obviously is solid. All in all, a solid quarter, as I've mentioned, for the company in which management structure is implemented, and that means the transformation of a new roadmap towards profitable growth project for Euskaltel is well on the way. And I would just probably summarize in saying that we are very, very excited for the future. And would like to thank you for your attention and your support. And now let's switch on to questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. You can also submit your questions through the webcast platform. Questions by phone will be answered first. We already have a question from Mikhail Bishop from Goldman Sachs. Sir, please go ahead. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. And just a couple of questions from me, please. Firstly, just starting on the existing footprint, I was just keen to get your thoughts on the competitive trends. And Jose Miguel, what are your sort of views and bigger picture around the potential for growth on the existing footprint, given the levels of competition? And then secondly, and sort of into a third question, I was just fascinated by your nationwide expansion plans and really had two questions. Firstly, what do you see today as the pros and cons of using the Virgin brand to potentially go more nationwide? And then secondly, from having joined the business, what do you think of the current wholesale agreements, and do you think they need to be renegotiated? And do you think there's potential to easily do that and to give you that platform for growth more nationwide? Thanks very much.
Thank you, Michael. First of all, obviously, as you know, we have a very strong presence in our existing territories. We've been the leaders for quite a long time, and we have a tremendous presence. We obviously the leading infrastructure providers in all three of our territory, which obviously gives us a tremendous ability to maintain our customer base, but as well as to grow, and I'll specify a little bit in a minute. We have a very strong brands with clear identification, with good top of minds in the markets, and we want to reinforce that. That's why you've seen those early launches of some of your promotions. And if you look sort of the detail, you know, we're basing it on addressing some of our current customer base, as well as some of the customers that obviously, you know the companies and the brands. And you know, we want to reinforce ARPU. We want to reinforce those elements, as well as retaining the customers, and you know, obviously getting loyalty from our customers, which at the same time will help to actually get some of the customers, some additional customers into the business. There are even some potential projects where we can expand, you know, some infill in our areas, which we started early to look at, which obviously represent opportunities for us as well. So there is a lot of activity happening in our existing coverage, and the aim there is to reinforce our customer strength, our loyalty, as well as to look for growth within our areas. So that's what I would say about the existing areas. Obviously, in terms of the national expansion, for us represents a tremendous opportunity, because there is over 85% of the national coverage we have not addressed as yet, right? And if you look at some of the pilots in expansion, particularly Navarra, León, Rioja, even some of the areas in Cantabria, as well as, by the way, the Catalonian experience with ARICC, what that shows you is that the value proposition that Euskaltel is offering customers is obviously got acceptance. And this is key, because it means that we are offering a quality, a value service proposition to customers, and it's clearly acceptable by the fact that we've reported growth in coming from those pilots. And that's where I guess, you know, the confidence comes to look at and to develop a business case to address the national expansion. And that's obviously something that we'll be doing further down in the near future. But we do believe, based on those early pilots, that we obviously have confidence in that we can develop a business case along those lines. And within that, obviously the Virgin brand is an option we have. Once we get into the to developing that business case and to look at that study, well, obviously it represents a great opportunity for us. With respect to the wholesale agreements, yes, of course, this is an area for us of interest, because the company is growing, because the integrated operation that we've now set up allows us to have more visibility in terms of what we have. And analyze the entire footprint as one, those 3 million homes that we're now talking about. And that is an opportunity to sit down with our current wholesale providers and revise a lot of the conditions and obviously projections that we have, not only for our existing footprint, but as well as for some of the new pilots. And so that's obviously an opportunity that we are looking at and already discussing with our hosts.
Thanks. And then there's just the question around the pros and cons of the Virgin brand.
Okay, well, as I said to you, I mean, we're at the moment very much focused on stage one, which we've now fully, completed. Of course, there is fine-tuning. Stage two is about, getting synergies, getting, operational efficiency. We still haven't got to the business case stage of the expansion. So this is something that obviously we'll be able to give you more information in the near future.
Okay, now I understand. That's all very helpful. Thank you.
The next question comes from Yvonne Leal, BBVA. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. I got actually many questions, but let's limit to two or three. José Miguel, coming back to this first stage one, looking at your P&L with all those cost lines, which, by the way, are very helpful, I don't know, when do you think some of the cost savings are going to start flowing through the P&L? Because I guess in the second quarter we haven't yet seen, many savings. Where are the lines, and eventually, if you have a number in terms of percentage or whatever, on those 175 million euros of general expenses that you're targeting for the midterm? That's the first one.
Okay, you want to answer that? Okay, first, obviously, Yvonne, you know, we are four weeks into the new organization, right? So, and what we've done in the presentation is highlight some of the, the early areas we are addressing, right? And it probably makes all sense to you to see that where we see, obviously, the first items on that P&L that we will be looking, not only because of costs, but also because we want more efficiency and more efficacy in terms of what we're doing. This is the sales channels mix, right? The sales channels mix for us is an opportunity because traditionally, the three regions and the three brands have been very dependent on shops as well as door knocking or let's call it presenciales sales forces, and we believe that obviously introducing outbound, inbound, as well as online channels is going to give us not only a good mix, which will improve our SAC, but also is going to give us a tremendous dynamic in terms of the go-to-market campaigns that we are going to be addressing. So therefore, this is an area where we can see improvements. We talked about the product offering, the fact that we are now simplifying our product offering to a unified process under the mass market business unit. That's obviously interesting because it allows us to have visibility across all our customer base footprint and be able to identify exactly what are the costs and how to actually make that more efficient. So not only do we have more impact or more efficiency offers, but also we are obviously streamlining the cost, and we will hopefully give you more visibility on that. The network and IT assets integration, once again, end-to-end processes represent an improvement in terms of customer experience, but also represent opportunities to actually capture some of the synergies of integrating the three individual businesses, and so that's again why we are prioritizing that area as something to address quickly, and then overall, by the fact that we are now operating as a single company, as a single operational function, and we're able to draft dashboards and KPIs across the company, that's already giving us signs of some of the improvements opportunities that we have in the business. So that's how we're going to do it. Now, when are you going to get the visibility? Obviously, we're 4 weeks into the new organization. In the coming weeks and in the coming months, a lot of these initiatives are going to have, great progress. And towards the Q3, I think we'll have a lot more visibility of some of the effects of these initiatives.
Okay, and the second one on the commercial front, I don't know if I'm right to say that this King Kong campaign is just mobile only. Is that right? What's the reason for that?
No, it's actually okay. It's actually the King Kong campaign is a convergence offer, right?
Okay.
Obviously, the messages highlights that you can actually, if you have a converged offer, right, what you can do with King Kong is upgrade. You can upgrade to more abundance on the mobile, so it is very much mobile abundance driven, but it's actually a focus towards the convergence customers, right? So you're going to get an increase of abundance in mobile. You have access to a tremendous handset from Samsung, but that's going to actually mean that you're going to commit to the company for another 24 months, right? And that's obviously good for us because that gives us, the loyalty sort of aspect in the converged customer. And we're introducing speeds. Remember, one of the things I've said was speeds. This is broadband speeds. We're increasing your broadband speeds on your converged packages. So these are the three elements which we obviously highlight. But it's 100% converged packages, right? So just to clarify that.
Okay. Thanks so much. Maybe the last one. I think we all have assuming CapEx will go down, in coming years, basically because, former management was guiding through an investment cycle now. I don't know if you've had time to assess already that.
Obviously, you know, as we look at synergies, we obviously love the OPEX synergies because they have a direct impact on EBITDA, which obviously is where we want the maximum impact. But as you would understand, when we're working on integrating infrastructure, particularly network and IT, when we're looking at some of the SAC, you know, when we're looking to optimize SAC, there is a CAPEX component there, right? So that's the positive side of looking for synergies, because you're going to get OPEX synergies, but you're also going to get some CAPEX synergies. But also, of course, in terms of the CAPEX, we want to do that. We want to do that, like, you know, as quick as possible, because we intend to grow. And obviously, CAPEX growth will also drive CAPEX. So this is why we want to make sure we get to to efficient profiles in our channels as soon as possible.
Okay. Thanks very much, José Miguel.
The next question comes from Akhil Dattani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Thanks very much for taking the questions. I've got three questions which are all quite big picture and interrelated. The first really was just, José Miguel, if I could get your bigger picture views on the Spanish market as a whole. And I guess what I'm trying to understand and interested in is, I guess since the Jazztel days, there's been a lot of movements in the Spanish market. I guess just keen to understand how you think the market's evolved over that period and what you think that means in terms of the challenger opportunity. Obviously, that's something that was leveraged very successfully at Jazztel, but keen to understand how you think that strategy might need to be adapted to how the market's now developed. The second one was somewhat linked to that, which is that if we look at the last quarter and we look at the incumbent telcos, they've all had pretty tough revenue trends. So we've seen Vodafone's down 9%, Telefónica on the consumer side is down 1%, and Orange on the retail side is down 3%. So the market does seem to be suffering from the current promotions and aggression in the market. Just keen to see how you think about that. Do you think the market is quite competitive? Do you think the market as a whole is declining? Or are you more optimistic on that outlook? And then the last piece was just really the translation into Euskaltel and the core business. I guess one of the differences from Euskaltel versus Jazztel is that you have a sizable incumbent business that you need to protect separate to the challenger strategy you want to execute on. So I guess I'm just keen to understand, as you look at the different role now of being an incumbent in your core footprint, how do you think about the way in which you try and better protect that business? You've been suffering small declines, but ongoing declines for a couple of years now. How do you think about better protecting and growing that business? Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks. Wow. Three great questions. I hope we have enough time on the call. But anyway, I think the Spanish market, all you guys know exactly what's been happening over the last, particularly over the last 5 years, right? We've had overall an appreciation in terms of prices that's come about. It's come about because obviously services, and that's something that's happened over the last few years. That's obviously been there. I think even recently we've had some prices increase. So that sort of market repair, which has been slowly and well structured over the last few years, is been taking place, and this is obviously demonstrates a solid market in Spain for telecommunications, which a lot has to do with the fact that there is a good professional companies in Spain, and this is obviously something important to highlight. I think Spain is probably one of the more professionalized or more professional, more mature markets, and this is obviously this is actually good for the industry and particularly to operate on. So that's I would say that's the first comment. Obviously, Euskaltel is Euskaltel is Euskaltel. Nothing, there's no comparison with Jazztel, right? So I guess this is the first thing we need to highlight. And this is the reason why, by the way, we have got a roadmap strategy which is completely different to anything that we've had to manage in the past. And this roadmap, by the way, is tailor-made for the market and for Euskaltel, right? So nothing to do with previous, you know, anything to do with previous gestures. So I just want to make sure I highlight that. So we, you know, we have done a very conscious and very detailed analysis, and the roadmap is very specific to Euskaltel needs and to Euskaltel opportunities. So I just want to make sure that this is absolutely clear to everybody on the call, right? And this is important. And it's based on the fact that there is an opportunity, there's three businesses, highly successful businesses over the last 20 years, right? With great, management at those individual regions. And a tremendous opportunity now to get synergies from those three operating companies that have been very successful over the last 20 years with tremendous market shares in those territories. And we can now look at some of the synergies, but not only look at the synergies, but we can actually structure a new efficient operating model that's going to not only continue to address those regions, but actually address the possibilities to growth, not only, you know, obviously, every market will have different growth parameters and opportunities. You can't compare the sort of growth opportunities we'll have in our existing region versus the growth opportunity you'll have in some of the pilots or even the 85% of the remainder of the national market. So I just want to make sure that we understand that the roadmap we've designed is specifically tailored for the Euskaltel opportunities that we have at hand, and particularly because of the market. So this is important to translate. In terms of the where we see, we are reinforcing our sales channels, as I said, and we are reinforcing our loyalty programs in the existing regions within this common structure that we've now set up. And we believe that we can, there are upsides, not only in synergy-wise, but also operational-wise in our current territory, which will yield some of those quota-on-quota, improvements that we consider possible. And that's obviously, where we're focusing. In terms of the differences between Challenger, we believe that the market, as I said, is strong, and particularly the conflict comes from the fact that the customers are always looking for value. We have a very mature customer base in Spain. By the way, broadband in Spain has increased or has grown by half a million new subscribers in the market just over the last year, right? So that gives you an idea that obviously the market is still growing. And I think customers in Spain are mature enough to look for value. And Euskaltel can actually present or offer a value proposition to customers. And that's what we're basing it on. And I guess the only similarity maybe with Jazztel, if you recall, you know, Jazztel was growing with a value proposition during some of the downturn economy periods that we had in Spain. So it goes to show that when you've got a mature marketplace, and you do come with value propositions to customers, you can get growth, and that's where our confidence coming from in terms of our strategic roadmap.
Okay, we have a question from Giovanni Montalchi from UBS. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking the question. If I may, I understand this is early days, but what is your ambition in terms of the national plan? What type of number should we be thinking of? And what's your take in terms of funding of the plan? And how do you think about your current dividend policy in this light? Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the question. Obviously, as I said in previous questions, our main focus, particularly our roadmap, was to get a structure that can focus on synergies and can focus on business improvements, particularly customer improvements as well as go-to-market customer improvements, We you can see some of the results on the pilots, on the expansion pilots, particularly Navarra and Catalonia. That's, I guess, this is important. And our phase two now is, our phase two of the roadmap is going to focus on, you know, on delivering an efficient model, an efficient operating model for the three businesses and, you know, for the three brands as one, as a single business. That's obviously our main focus. I think we can extract a lot of value. And based on those numbers, which I guess are going to give us a different run rate in terms of the P&L, and particularly a different run rate in terms of the cost structure, as well as the customer KPIs, I think we're going to be in a very good position to give you, you know, in the very near future. You know, numbers that speaks particularly about the expansion sort of details, and so I guess that's what I have to tell you on that sense.
So if I understand well, you are thinking of a project that is self kind of funded.
Yeah,
the project would be.
One of the things that we believe is that the Spanish telecommunications market. In terms of wholesale, it's very mature. It's now very rarely, but it's been rarely now for many, many years where we can have a pretty diverse arrangements in terms of wholesale agreements, ranging from pure wholesale to bitstream to co-investment to mutualization arrangements, etc. To co-sharing,
but you don't see big cash up front, let's say, for this project. So mainly variable cost business model you are thinking of.
We obviously, we want to focus the opportunities. But what we're saying to you is that there is a lot of available opportunities at sharing infrastructure and getting those sort of deals on the table. And that's the ones we are going to prioritize in terms of, you know, once we get into that stage. We are obviously already looking at, you know, at the current contracts we have, because obviously we can see some early gains, going forwards in the near future. But that's, you know, that's our view, is that we're going to have a flexible sort of OPEX and CAPEX, as well as a return on investment approach when we do get to the, you know, to starting, you know, the network expansion project.
Okay, so if I may follow up on the synergy point you have been stressing about the integration. I mean, obviously I understand this is not something you have been involved with, but we've been hearing about synergies from integration since the IPO time or a few months after that. So just to understand, to get a sense of what is the value left there on the table that is not yet been extracted, and why do you think has not been extracted so far after such a long time? Because, I mean, the original Euskaltel has done the acquisition of R-Cable quite a while ago, let's say, a couple of years for Telecable. So what's left on the table yet in terms of synergies? And also, if I may, a very final point, what's the role of B2B? The previous management was stressing B2B as a driver of growth. I haven't heard anything about this from you yet. Thank you.
Okay, well, I guess, you know, it's evident that if you've got three operational businesses, right, small size, three operational businesses in three regions, if you now go to a common operational model, right, where you maintain the brand, but what you're doing is just getting all the functions from the sales to the, you know, to the all the sales processes and all the factory processes, as I call them, which is, you know, network, IT, and customer service, and you now operate as one. We can address a lot of synergies, and that's where our plan is coming from, right? That's where our current roadmap plan is coming from, because we see that there is good potential synergies in doing that, and that's what we've prioritized. We've been able to actually carry that out or implement that structure, as I said, within weeks of that, and now obviously there is all the work that goes behind that in order to get those synergies to yield those synergies into the business. So that's where our synergy, synergies.
Sorry to interrupt. What I don't understand is there any hurdle there to get these synergies? I mean, I don't understand why after so many years this has not been done. It would be pretty obvious if I can say that. Was there a matter of, I don't know, complexity? Was there lack of execution, lack of willingness from the previous board? What is, in your view, that has changed now compared to the previous three years?
Well, if you see the first thing we've done, and we've actually highlighted in this presentation, that the most, for me, the single most important element or milestone was to have a very focused operational organization. We've gone to a five sort of division organization with three operational units, two sales units, and one technology factory like unit. That's the first element from my point of view that needs to happen when you're trying to extract synergies. In other words, an integration strategy. Is the element that allows you to actually yield the synergies, and that's exactly what we've done, and we've done it in 4 weeks, right? And that to me is the key element. I'm not sure exactly, as you said in your question, I was named as CEO on the 5th of June, and obviously the company had a lot of information in order to be able to draft a very solid roadmap. And the first item on that roadmap was to have an organization that could actually integrate all the three operational units. And obviously it required a leadership team that could drive that roadmap. And I think to me, that's probably, hopefully you can see, your answer in what I've just said. In other words, an integration and a synergy integration strategy requires an organization and a leadership team, right, to drive that. And the board approved that on the 5th of June. And I guess that's the important thing. That's what's really driving our synergy sort of program. And that's what I guess I have to say.
Your
question. B2B is fundamental for us because remember, we are the dominant operator in our territories by a long shot, right? We've got tremendous enterprise relationships. We've got tremendous institutional relationships. We've got tremendous sort of SME sort of channels that I've been operating for over 20 years. So for us, B2B is very exciting. I apologize if it hasn't come through. That obviously, for us, B2B, plays a very strong part in our strategy. And this is why I said that over the last quarters, we've had a positive trend in terms of growth coming out of B2B, which has been very positive, and it will continue to be positive. And by the way, it's funny, but out of almost 2 months here, I've spent a lot of time working with the B2B team in terms of reinforcing that area. So it's very, very important for us.
Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Sami Datta from New Street Research. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, excuse me, a couple of questions, please. One, Jose Miguel, I think when you joined, there was a lot of noise, probably in the local press, to be fair. But I think the narrative around your joining was Euskaltel is set to go nationwide and launch with the Virgin brand and become a sort of a competitive nationwide operator. My sense from the presentation material and from listening to you is, at this point, it feels a little bit deprioritized. And I understand there's areas to focus on in the existing business, but it doesn't to me sound like it's a particular kind of immediate area of focus. Do you think that's fair? And maybe as a sort of add-on, what is the soonest that you think you could consider moving into a nationwide launch phase?
Okay, well, that,
Go on, please.
Well, obviously, for us, it's your summary or your question, that I don't think represents the reality of what we're trying to communicate, and it's a good question because I want to make sure that maybe I just need to put it up. But the fourth slide on our presentation clearly, puts out a roadmap with three very distinctive, very important blocks, right? There's one about the new team and creating this organizational structure, which I explained in the previous question, because it's that organizational structure that does two things. It does three things, actually. One is obviously addresses the possibility to extract synergies, which obviously is there's a potential, a good opportunity for synergies in the Euskaltel group as a consequence of the three businesses. But two, this organization also focuses, and we've seen that through the presentation, focuses on performance, on KPIs, on getting ready, right, for that efficient operation that we need as a single factory, which already is delivering results on some of the national expansion network projects like Navarra, like León, like Rioja, like Catalunya, right? So that is the first step, very crucial step, in terms of building our strategy, right? The second one is about, okay, once we've got the organization, now we gotta get the engine to run very, very efficiently. We gotta get the company running very efficiently to make sure that we are performing and we've got the right KPIs and we've got the right items on the P&L to make sure that that once again we are efficient. But there is a very clear third block, which says national expansion opportunity, right? And what we're saying to you guys is that that's a very important block for us, but that we need to go through step one, step two first in detail, give you, produce results that will definitely drive a business case which will be strong on the basis of how much we're able to extract and how much we're able to make sure that those process one and two are actually very, 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 very well executed. And this is the reason why we've executed stage one practically in 4 weeks, and that's why we are already executing on stage two, because what we want to do is that, get to that, to that clarity of the synergies and get to the clarity of the efficient KPIs so that we can then, actually get to, to do stage three of our roadmap. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands that we are presenting a three-stage strategic roadmap today.
Okay, that's clear, thanks. I mean, there's a couple of follow-ups. One, when might you be in a position to launch? And then secondly, this was previous management, I think, had guided to 30,000 new subscribers in the sort of current regions of expansion. Now, I realize that's not your target, but is that something which still seems reasonable? And is your sense based on, not being there for too long, but is your sense on the pilot projects that they're trending in line to hit those kind of numbers?
Well, I think, we believe that the current regions have been, behaving very positively, right? I guess as we introduce more channels, more efficient channels, not only across across all our all our footprint, that would also give us more visibility about the effectiveness of the new regions as well. In the new regions, obviously, we are developing a lot more processes, which, by the way, are very interesting for us, particularly when we talk about a wider national expansion project in the future, because obviously we'll have more dependent on things like inbound and outbound and online channels in the new regions, as opposed to the more traditional shops and the Don Orcas or the sales task force on the street sales force, which obviously are less efficient, more expensive. So as we are developing some of these efficient initiatives that I mentioned previously, that's going to actually give us an interesting sort of run rate for the expansion. And as you said, it's probably too early for me to be able to give you definite opinions on those numbers. I think Q3 is going to be very, very interesting in terms of being able to give you more visibility across the board in terms of some of these numbers. So I would say that that's probably where I will be looking at.
Okay. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Next question comes from Pedro Oliveira, CaixaBank BPI. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I just have one question. I think you talk a lot about the strategy and the fact that you are still early on the company, so I'll try to have something more concrete and more short-term, which is related with the football content. So you probably saw that Orange and Mediaset have closed an agreement with Telefónica to buy the content. And I was wondering, what are your strategy for the back-to-school campaign period, and if you think you can lever on Mitel Plus to provide content to your subscribers next season. Thank you.
Well, firstly, nice to talk to you again, Pedro. And obviously, as you know, the news is very early because it's just been basically, I think that we're all trying to clarify exactly the details on that media set. The first thing I would say to you is that, you know, it's you know, I welcome, of course, cautiously welcome, because I don't have all the full details, and hopefully over the next couple of days we'll have more details exactly about what that means, and then we'll be able to give you a more informed, ascertained opinion as to what, you know, how that represents. But the first thing also is we welcome any option in terms of, you know, premium contents that allows competition to be able to access to premium content in an equal basis in terms of market, because I think the Spanish market has been, as I said, very professional. We've had a good sort of framework to work on, and despite maybe some specific issues that we've had to work over the last, 15 years, I think, we've managed to get a reasonable sort of, competition sort of framework that's allowed companies, to evolve and to grow in a professional manner. And probably, premium content, namely football, is the only one that I would say is an area that could have had concern, particularly some of the more recent sort of developments. So obviously we welcome the fact that other players like Mediaset, particularly with over the top technology, could be coming into the market, and obviously we look forward for those open OTT type offers are genuinely focused at giving the market the ample access that I think the Spanish market has been traditionally doing with other services. And by the way, this is very important, because we've seen how, for example, FTTH in Spain has been tremendously successful in terms of penetration, and that has been because there's been a competitive and a reasonable framework competition in Spain. So therefore, I would actually even say that for the health of the premium content, having a good sort of competitive sort of framework or competition framework in Spain will allow for premium content to actually be very successful in the Spanish market. So obviously we're always looking forward to that, and we will be engaging with the current actors to make sure that we obviously have an important sort of participation if necessary. But as you know, our current strategy voids premium contents. In other words, we have drafted a strategy, a roadmap that can actually deliver value to shareholders and profitable growth, as we said, without necessarily having high premium content in the football arena. So just bear that in mind that our roadmap has been developed on the promise that we can, obviously, we will be providing premium content on, to customers, but not necessarily, from premium football content. And that's something that I just want to make sure that it's clear, that we welcome anything that happens on premium content, particularly football, and we will obviously engage and participate in the discussions and in the negotiations. But just to, highlight to you guys that our, strategic roadmap, is being drafted with not necessarily depending on that type of content.
Thank you very much for your clarification.
Next question comes from Fernando Cordero, Banco Santander. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my two questions. The first one is related with the network in the home territories. In that sense, I would like to know your views after being almost 2 months at the helm of the possibilities to extract more value from the current network of the three Euskaltel home markets. And in that sense, which extent are you looking to also to extract some or to look for wholesale opportunities with the network, or even trying to monetize the network? And the second question is quite clear the roadmap that you have explained in the presentation, but in order also to see how this roadmap is also supported by some facts, I would like to know or your plans, also probably the board is involved in that, at which extent this plan is going to be supported also with an incentive plan to the management team, and if you have any details on that. Thank you.
Okay, obviously, as I mentioned to you previously, Carlos, you know, the good thing we have in Spain is a very developed, wholesale market in Spain, and we've all seen this. We've all seen tremendous, very good deals. I mean, I negotiated a co-investment agreement on FTTH with Telefonica, which obviously had a tremendous, tremendous development. But there is, 4G mobile, sharing agreements. There is good roaming agreements. There are, streaming agreements. There is co-development, mutualization agreements. So there's a very wide variety of well structured and competitive agreements in the market that I think allows us not only to actually access to network but also to monetize our own network. And I think this is it's just as applicable, right, to accessing network as obviously to monetizing our own network. And obviously, I'm not going to give you details on this call, specific details, but I just want to make sure that's understood, and I think it is understood by all of you guys that the good thing is that we do have a mature wholesale market, and that those type of arrangements are clearly available to us, not only to be able to access but also to be able to monetize our network. So that's obviously again following on what I've said before, and the other question, and you've said it. Board meetings. I don't get into board meetings in this type of calls, as you know. So I can't really comment on your second part of your second question, because as I said, these board meetings we don't generally discuss in this type of calls.
Okay, fair enough. Welcome back, José Miguel.
Thank you very much.
Our last question comes from Nuno Matias, Hidden Bank. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the questions. The first is on in terms of your margin. Okay, previously you had guided for a medium-term target of 50% in terms of EBITDA margin. These incremental synergies that you are targeting could mean that you could go north of that in the near future. And secondly, picking in your previous answer regarding the infrastructure on your home market, just would like to hear your thoughts, because the previous management were a little bit more defensive on that, but arguing that the cable network would be enough to compete with rival fiber offers. What's your view on that? Do you think that eventually you will have the need to roll out FTTH across your legacy territories, like, for instance, NOS is doing in Portugal? Thank you.
Okay, evidently, you saw me to some extent presenting that obviously quality of customers for us is important. The fact that we're growing on the number of services per customer for us is great news, because it's what allows us to increase our profitability. But having said that, it's obviously important to say that we are the main operator in our territories, and although there are opportunities for us to grow, and we want to grow, obviously, there is always, as you know, a good sort of brand of, we want to grow, which means obviously grow means that, EBITDA margins can obviously have a different lifetime value cycle. And so I guess we're happy and we're very pleased of the quality and the healthiness of our EBITDA margin percentages in our business. And obviously from an absolute EBITDA number, we want to grow. That for us is important to understand that, because at the end of the day, for us is absolutely important. And if we're finding opportunities where lifetime value, new opportunities, even within our existing territories, where lifetime value obviously, has a different mix in terms of the percentage, that for us, will be fine as well. So we're going to be working on the two. We're working already on the two dynamics, on the two, levers. In other words, we want to continue our number of services per customer, which, by the way, it's pretty high, 3.7, right? I think it's a very healthy services per customer ratio, right? Compared to probably other operators in the market, but at the same time, we are going to be looking for opportunities, right? Which obviously may have a different sort of lifetime value cycle, which for us is good. Overall, we're going to be looking for absolute growth in our EBITDA. That's where our focus is, right? And so that's a little bit. The first question. The second question is that I think the company has done tremendous effort over the last few years to get the cable infrastructure fit for purpose in terms of competitiveness against FTTH. With DOCSIS 3.1, and I think the results are there. So therefore, obviously, the good thing about the company is it's also already operational in terms of introducing FTTH infills, integrating, access agreements on FTTH with Orange and possibly other operators. So that flexibility in the factory to be able to maximize our current investment in cable with the introduction of DOCSIS 3.1, I think that's good. It's very positive. But at the same time, our ability to be able to introduce new topologies in our network, like FTTH, on our own infill, like access to FTTH networks, and even there's possibilities of hybrids, right? I'll just leave it at that. So that's a sort of I think dynamics that I think are healthy for Euskaltel, and I can assure you that we are entertaining and valuing all different types of of business cases for the different topologies, and that's the healthiness. That's where Euskaltel needs to be.
Okay, very clear. Thanks.
So it was our last question. I give back the floor to the company.
Okay, well, thank you, guys. Obviously, there's obviously always a small, first stage in nerves for me. So thank you very much for being so understanding and supportive. We look forward to give you as much visibility as possible. I know that the guys are going to do great in terms of answering questions and even some of the one-to-ones. I may not be able to join many of the one-to-ones, and I guess you understand why. So just bear with us, because we're obviously going to be very, very focused on some of these stage one, stage two priorities. But I'm sure the team will actually stage or will look at the different calendars, and we look forward to again, in probably more than ever, to actually meeting with you guys soon, as well as presenting the Q3 results. So again, thank you very much for your support, and look forward to speaking to you soon. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.